the special privilege this morning of being able to hear from Professor Tom Meyer. And he is literally has just moved from California, where he was a professor there at Shasta Bible College in Redding, California, up in the northern part, moving down to Kentucky, actually, but you're working for Answers in Genesis. And so we're excited. He has a great several ministries. I'll let him talk about those. But one of them that we've been challenged about already on Saturday evening and also this morning during the Sunday school hour was the importance and the priority of Bible memorization and what it can do to help transform all of us to become more like Jesus Christ. So with our great amount of enthusiasm and love, let's welcome Professor Tom Meyer.
All right, can those seven volunteers of mine, those seven victims, come up right now? All right. Well, in Canton, Ohio, you have the NFL Hall of Fame. Go Bears. Sorry. In Cooperstown, New York, you have the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame. Go White Sox. Yes, yes, yes. But exceedingly abundantly above these earthly tabernacles or shrines where they have literally idols or busts or statues of our heroes, exceedingly abundantly above these Hall of Fames is what we call the Hall of Faith, the Hall of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11. The reason we call it thus is because the word faith is used 26 times. 26 times in one chapter. The author of Hebrews 11, what he does is, which you probably know, is he goes back to the Old Testament and he just takes the story of someone's account of faith and just shrinks it down to a verse. By faith, so-and-so did this, or by faith, so-and-so did that. So what we're going to do for the next half hour or so is we're going to use Hebrews 11 as an outline. I'll tell you that short account of the Old Testament saints' act of faith, then I'll go back to the Old Testament and tell you part or the whole of the narrative of their account. Sound good? All right. Now, you guys, come here real quick. Our first account of faith is Enoch. By faith, Enoch was taken and he was not found. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he exists and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man in the likeness of God, made he him male and female, created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. And the days of Adam after he begot Seth were 800 years and he begot sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years and he died. And Seth lived 105 years and begot Enosh. And Seth lived after he begot Enosh 807 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Seth were 912 years. And he died. Oh, thank you. And Enosh lived 90 years and begot Cainan. And Enosh lived after he begot Cainan 815 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Enosh were 905 years. And and Cainan lived 70 years and begot Mahalalel. And Cainan lived after he begot Mahalalel 840 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Cainan were 910 years. And? Yeah. And Mahalalel lived 65 years and begot Jared. And Mahalalel lived after he begot Jared 830 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years. And? And Jared lived 162 years, and he begot Enoch. And Jared lived after he begot Enoch 800 years, and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years. And? Yeah. And Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. Good job, guys. Let's give him a round of applause. So, crown of faith is Noah. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared to himself an ark for the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of their righteousness, which is by faith. And it came to pass when men began to multiply upon the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children unto them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man, beast, creeping thing, fowl of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. And Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third story shalt thou make. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is a breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee, and of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female, of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after their kinds. Two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive, and take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah, according unto all that God commanded him, so did he. And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take unto thee by sevens, the male and his female. And the beasts that are not clean by twos, the male and his female. Of fowls also of the air by sevens, the male and his female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. Let's go to our next account of faith. Abraham. By faith, Abraham was tested. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. And Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba, and he called there in the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And Abraham sojourned in the Philistines' land many days. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, "Behold, here am I." And he said, "Take now thy son, thy only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." And Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and he cut the wood for the burnt offering, and they rose up and went unto the place which God had told them of. Then on the third day Abraham saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, "Abide you here with the donkeys, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again unto you." And Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering, and he laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and the knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here am I, my son." And he said, "Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." So they went both of them together, and they came to the place which God had told them of. Abraham built an altar there, laid the wood in order, bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar on the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven and said, "Abraham! Abraham!" And he said, "Behold, here am I!" And he said, "Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him, a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son.
Hallelujah.
Let's go to our next account of faith. Baby Moses. Can I use him? Please? Okay, come. And just sit in the front row and I'll call you when I'm ready. I love coming to healthy, not that numbers mean everything, but large, healthy churches that actually have a choir, that actually have babies. I'm serious. It's wonderful to be here. It really is, for me too. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Now, these are the names of the children of Israel which came into Egypt. Every man in his household came with Jacob, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, Benjamin, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. And all the souls which came out to the loins of Jacob were 70 souls, for Joseph was in Egypt already. And Joseph died, and all his brethren and all that generation. And the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. Now, there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, "Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, so get them up out of the land." Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And the Egyptians were grieved because of the children of Israel. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and in brick and in all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. And the king of Egypt spake unto the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of the one was Shiphrah, and the name of the other Puah. And he said, when you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then you shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but save the men children alive. And Pharaoh called the midwives and said unto them, why have you done this thing and have saved the men children alive? And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered before the midwives can come in unto them. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses. Now, Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born, you shall cast into the river. But every daughter, you shall save alive. And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him for 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrush and daubed it with slime and with pitch. And she put the child therein and laid him among the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to see what would be done unto him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself by the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side, and when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maids to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. And she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew woman, that she may nurse the child for thee? And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away. Nurse it for me, and I will give you your wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it, and the child grew. She brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses. She said, because I drew him out of the water. All right, let's give him a round of applause. Thank you. I want to say something, but I'm not going to say it because it doesn't go with the flow of Hebrews 11. It's true. Our next account of faith is Moses himself. By faith, Moses, when he was born... No, we just did that one, Tom. Sorry. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater than the treasures of Egypt. And it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out unto his brethren and he looked on their burdens and he spied an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he was come out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together, and he said unto him that did the wrong, why do you hurt your brother? And he said, who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killest the Egyptian? And Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. And Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh, dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. Now the priest of Midian had seven daughters. And they came and drew water and filled the troughs and watered their father's flocks. But the shepherds came and drove them away. But Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flocks. And when they came to Reuel, their father, he said, how is it that you are come so soon today, my daughters? And they said, an Egyptian delivered us out of the hand of the shepherds and also drew water enough for us and watered our flocks. And he said, where is he? Why is it that you have left the man? Call him that he may eat bread. And Moses was content to dwell with the man, and he gave Moses Zipporah his daughter, and she bare him a son, and he called his name Gershom, for he said, I have been a stranger in a strange land. And it came to pass in process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage, and God heard their groanings, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob, and God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. Now, Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came unto the mountain of God, even to Oreb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burnt with fire, but the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, behold, here am I. And he said, do not come any closer. Remove the shoes from off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them, to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanite, Hittite, Amorite, Perizzite, Hivite, Jebusite. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come unto me, and I have surely seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth thy people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the children of Israel out of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me to you, and they shall say unto me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thou shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Amen. Well, what more shall I say? The time would fail me to tell you of Gideon, Barak, David, Samuel, prophets, Samson, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, and two more, quenched the violence of fire. Can we have you guys come up again? I need four boys. 1, 2, 3, 4. Not all at once. That's okay. Come on. I don't bite. It's okay. One more. Here we go. All right. Very good. And you know what we could use? Are you thinking what I'm thinking? Probably. We could use a young lady. Young lady, where art thou? Where art thou? There we go. Okay. Very good. Thank you. Okay, so you are going to... All right. Faith that quenched the violence of fire. Nebuchadnezzar the king. Not you, her. Nebuchadnezzar the king made a statue of gold, whose height was 90 feet high and the breadth of it 9 feet, and he set it up in the plains of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the province to come to the dedication of the statue which Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. Then were the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the province gathered together unto the dedication of the statue which Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up, and they stood before the statue which Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And a herald cried aloud, to you it is commanded, O peoples, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden statue which Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And whoso falleth not down in worship, he shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Wherefore, at that time when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, all kinds of music, all the peoples, nations, languages fell down and worshipped the golden statue which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accuse the Jews. They spake and said to Nebuchadnezzar the king, O king, live forever. Thou, king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden statue which thou hast set up. And whoso falleth not down in worship, that he should be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and these men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden statue which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not you serve my gods, nor worship the golden statue which I have set up? Now if you be ready that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden statue which I have made, well, but if you worship not, you shall be cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hand? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said unto the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not anxious to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve will be able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden statue which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury. And the form of his visage changed against Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Therefore he commanded that they should heat the furnace 7 times more than it was normally heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats and their other garments and cast into the fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent and the flame of the fire exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men which took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound. Go in there. To the midst of the burning, fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said, true, O king. He said, look, I see four men loose, walking in the middle of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and said, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, you servants of the Most High God, come forth, come out. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out to the fiery furnace. The princes, the governors, the captains, the king's counselors being gathered together saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed, neither were their clothes changed, neither had the smell of fire passed on them. All right, let's give them a round of applause. Get on. One more. All right, one more and we'll be all done. The faith. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants things which... I could do the whole thing. Can I come back, Pastor, and do Revelation? Can I? Can I come back and do Revelation from memory? All right, let's do it. All right, one more. The faith of a widow woman. The faith of a widow woman that could raise her daughter from the dead. Now, Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according unto my word." And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, "Arise, get thee eastward, hide thyself by the brook Cherith, and it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and behold, I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there." So he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. It came to pass after a while that the brook had dried up, because there was no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, "Arise, get thee to Zarephath." That's Jezebel's hometown. "Arise, get thee to Zarephath, and dwell there. And behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." So he arose and went on to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow woman was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, "Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink." And as she was going to fetch it, he said, "And bring me a cake that I may eat it." And she said, "I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse, and I'm gathering six that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." And Elijah said unto her, "Go and do as I have said. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that Yahweh sends rain upon the earth." So she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. But it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was so sore that there was no spirit left in him. And she said, "What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son?" And Elijah said unto her, "Give me the child." And he took the child and brought him up into his loft where he abode. And he laid him down on his bed and he stretched himself upon the child. 2-3 times. And he said, "Yahweh, I pray thee, let the soul of this child come into him again." And God hearkened to the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came in to him again, and he brought him down unto his mother and said, "See, thy son liveth." And she said, "Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is true." We heard the faith of Enoch. We heard the faith of Noah. We heard the faith of Abraham. We heard the faith of the parents of Moses. We heard the faith of Moses. We heard the faith of the three Hebrew boys, and we heard the faith of a widow woman. I want to leave you with a question, an important question. What are you having faith? What are you trusting in God to do that only God can do? You do not receive because you do not ask. What manner of man is there among you? If his son asks for bread, we'll give him a stone. Or if he asks for a fish, we'll give him a serpent. If you then, being evil, which you are, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask?" What are we asking? Look, I know it's no. Sometimes my mom died of liver cancer at 61. Healer, healer, healer. No, no, no. I know sometimes it's no. I'm not Benny Hinn. But what are you asking him to do that only he can do? Are you glad you came to church today? Oh, that wasn't very... Maybe I don't know if I will be invited back. Are you glad you came to church today?
Yes.
There we go. On the way out, there's a couple things that you could help me and help yourself. My biggest problem now, my biggest problem is getting into churches to speak. You wouldn't think it would be a problem, but it's a problem. It's a big problem because I'm a stranger in a strange land. So if you know of a church that would like what I just did, please take one of these that has our information on it. Can you do that? Also, for those of you who weren't here for Sunday school, but you want to memorize or you want your kids or grandkids to memorize, it's worth the $20 to get the memorization study Bible, which teaches you everything I've ever learned about memorization in Jerusalem. Finally, at that table right there, there's verse-by-verse-by-verse commentaries. I did 2 master's degrees in Jerusalem where we go verse-by-verse through all of Psalms, all 150 of them, and all of Revelation, and it's really good. So these not only help you, but they bless me and help me have gas money to drive 2.5 hours home and buy food and clothes and all that stuff for my family. This is what we do. Thank you so much for having me here today, and may God abundantly bless you guys. Pastor.
Maybe you're here today, you asked that question, what could God do for me? Do you know for sure that if you were to face him face to face, that you would know that he would accept you into heaven? How does that happen? The Bible is clear about that, isn't it? How about a verse we all know well? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And here's the back end of that, right? For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And so I offer you Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus Christ, God's Son, came to earth to die on the cross for our sins and rose again, and that he did. There's more evidence for that than anything Shakespeare ever written. And if you would just simply, honestly, open your eyes and your heart and see what God has done for you and offers you eternal life by trusting in him alone, you can have eternal life now and forevermore. Not for anything you've done, but by his grace and his grace alone. But you must trust in him. So before, as the worship team comes up, or Dan, or whoever's going to close us in a song here, I'm going to ask everyone to go ahead right now to bow their heads and close their eyes. And Christians, pray. Hope decisions have been made today. And if you're here and you've never trusted Jesus Christ, I offer you simply Jesus. He loves you, and he died for you, and he rose again. If you by faith will trust in him and what he did for you, you can be saved. Would you do that now? You simply just express from your heart to God, thanking him for sending Jesus, saying, "Thank you, Father, for loving me so much. You sent your Son to die for me. And forgive my sin that sent Jesus to the cross, and I believe that he is the Christ, the Son of God, that he died for me and he rose again, and I'm trusting in him and him alone to save me. Save me, Jesus." If you pray that with sincerity from your heart, welcome to the family of God. And for many of us here that are believers, I trust, as I have been encouraged and, yes, inspired to dig into this word a little bit more. And I would pray that each one of us, wherever we're at, we would make that commitment to God to know His Word more and more and more, so that we can be ready to give an answer to those of the hope that's within us. Father, we pray even now that as decisions are made and have been made throughout the morning, that we will not just go away being impressed by a servant who has committed himself to the Word, but that we would be inspired and moved and convicted that we too can hide this Word. Not just for knowledge, but for living. Help us to live the Word of God in our lives. And thank you for giving it to us. In the name of Christ, our Savior.